Jesse should read this political piece and push back on this hit piece on a progressive over his medical credentials. People are being dumb about this one. First half is a hit piece. Second half, if you will read, basically undermines and walks it back. What is this? Michigan Senate hopeful El-Sayed calls himself a physician, but has little history training. I will never waste my time ever. If this is probably coming, or maybe it's already happened, actually, hopefully, but I will not waste my time defending Marxists or whatever ever again. I don't want any of them in my community. I'm not going to waste time being friendly to these people. I think people that are being friendly towards them, I would go a step further and say that, like, it's got to go. It's too much. It's just too much. It's too much now. Like, I have no desire. I actually don't give a fuck what people say about him. I'll only make good attacks against people, but I will never waste my breath defending people that want to destroy my country. Absolutely not. So fuck him. Wait, hold on. Somebody linked this and said this was a hit piece. But wait, who linked this and asked me if this was a hit piece? Michigan Senate hopeful El-Sayed calls himself a physician, but has little history treating patients. It's a weird thing to hang your hat on in terms of a biographical detail if you never actually practice medicine, one Dem operative said. Michigan Democratic Senate candidate Abdul El-Sayed for years has publicly said he's a physician, but there's overwhelming evidence that he's had no experience as a licensed medical doctor. This April, he gave an interview to a local TV journalist where he talks up his credentials as a physician multiple times. In March, he told a group of Teamster nurses that he had been in enough codes to watch who really does the work, and said that same month on a podcast, "I've been a doctor my whole career."
So Dr. Abdul made the formal announcement that you want to be the Democratic candidate.
I just don't know at what point would anybody drag the sliders over. Why? How could you have this not balanced? Who did it? At what point and why? Why would you do this? Who dragged it? Who dragged it?
So Dr. Dool made the formal...
Why are they sitting so close? Because they have a fucking 36 millimeter or whatever higher lens, and so they can't have them... And they have in a small room, so they can't, I don't know, they can't move them farther away.
Announcement that you want to be the Democratic candidate running on the primary for U.S. Senate. Why do you want to go to Washington right now?
I hope they've mixed his audio to the right, so I feel like I'm getting a real stereotropic experience or whatever the fuck.
Look, I think
Yeah! Oh my god! Okay, this is intentional. Somebody's like, oh, this is going to be fucking lit! This is going to be litty! Fuck it, let's... Okay, there we go. All right. I just want to make sure that we're, like, having... That we're doing, like, some good shit here, okay? All right? I just want to make sure that we're having an authentic, okay, a real experience, okay? Where, okay, thank God, thank you, yes, okay. Oh my God!
I speak for so many of us when I say that life just shouldn't be this hard.
True.
In the richest, most powerful country in the world.
True.
You shouldn't have to worry about whether or not you go see a doctor and you're going to get hit by medical debt.
I agree.
You shouldn't have to worry about whether or not you're going to get fired from your job or that job is going to give you a paycheck that affords basic groceries for your family.
Okay.
You shouldn't have to worry about.
Can we get some input from the other guy,
though? Breathe is clean, or the water you drink
Stop.
Is pure.
Stop talking.
And the people who exploited the pain of that.
Stop. Making it worse. Stop.
What they're
Hold
doing
on.
To our economy.
This guy's coming out. Hold on. He's coming.
The global
dude, look
economy.
At so look at how determined he is. Look at his face.
Friends.
He's like,
look at what
he's locked the fuck in right now, dude.
Research at the National Institutes of Health. I think nobody wanted that. And I look at what we need now. We need a rare combination. We need somebody who knows how to step up and fight, and I got receipts on that. But maybe more importantly,
on fighting?
We need
he's
somebody
a fighter,
who knows
he's
how to
an MMA fighter
the
too.
That Trump and Musk are going to leave behind. And I'm somebody who's walked now into multiple government agencies and made them work for people. Whether it was rebuilding Detroit's health department to do things like make sure that there's
oh,
not lead in
kind
our
of
schools
fight.
Or stand up to corporate polluters, or leading Wayne County's health department under the leadership of Warren Evans, where we delivered 300,000 people are going to get letters. I think I speak for so many of us when I say that life just shouldn't be this hard in the richest, most powerful country in the world. You shouldn't have to worry about whether or not you go see a doctor and you're getting a career in public service. And if you don't center the public, if you don't think the questions that you ask as a doctor, which is what's wrong and how can I help, mm-hmm. when you're thinking about the work you want to do, then you're getting it wrong. And unfortunately, it's so clear. Dreaming to be a politician. You got to move to the kind of politics that builds. That's what I got into public service for. I mean, Damon, you know this. I trained as a physician, and I didn't grow up dreaming to be a politician. I grew up dreaming to be a surgeon. Then I realized that it was our politics that was making people sick in the first place, and that's led me to a career in public service. And if you don't center the public, if you don't think the questions that you ask as a doctor, which is what's wrong and how can I help, mm-hmm. when you're thinking about the work you want to do, then you're getting it wrong. And unfortunately, it's so clear that in DC, they're getting it wrong.
Dr. Bill, you're uniquely situated in that you are a physician who also knows how to navigate the public spaces and political spaces. Let me ask you this. You know, quite controversially right now are some of the directives coming from Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Is there anything that gives you pause when you hear him talking about public health priorities?
There's a lot of things. I mean, we've got a massive measles outbreak, one of the largest we've seen in decades. And the guy is both here and there when it comes to the obvious thing that you should be recommending people do, which is get a vaccine. It's safe. It's effective. We know it works. And when people don't get vaccines, that's when measles, which is the most infectious disease known to humankind, starts to spread. You know, I credit him for really raising awareness when it comes to nutrition, but it's like the right problem, the wrong answer. I mean, this is a common theme when it comes to Trump and his acolytes. Right? Yes, our system, our nutrition system is wrong. So if you're serious about it, then maybe we should stop investing in the kinds of foods, right, that make people sick in the first place and investing in green, nutritious food. He's out here trying to ban red dye, which I'm fine with, but like you miss the point, right? It's like your patient has cancer and had a mosquito bite, right? And you're saying we got to do something about that mosquito bite. Like, no, fix the cancer. And so I just worry that it's clear that this man doesn't know what he's doing, and he's made an entire career off of being the uncle at the dinner party that everybody rolls their eyes when you walk in to dinner and being like, oh, he's here. They want to know that you really care about them if they're going to give you their stake in democracy. And I want them to know I really care about them. I don't have to do this, right? I trained to be a doctor. The only reason I'm doing it is because it seems to me the logical extension of what the oath I took when I became a physician. And I'm trying my best to try and serve that out at the level that I know how and where I see the problem coming from.
All right.
The most important thing to me right now, look, I'm a doctor. I got into politics because I thought it was insane that in the richest, most powerful country in the world, people don't have healthcare. But also, there is no health without wealth. And right now, folks are watching. It's about understanding what's making it hurt for people and trying to do something about it. It's the reason I became a doctor. It's the reason I went into public service. It's the reason I'm running today. And so I think we need...
Okay. I'm just saying if he actually brought up, like, this doctor stuff a lot, or if they're exaggerating the article.
Who believes that healthcare is a human right? And who believes that nurses are part of healthcare? And who here believes that when you fight, we win?
Nobody here to advocate that's better for nurses from that side of it than the doc. Listen, I'm a doctor, but I know that nurses are the heart of healthcare. Because I've been in enough codes to watch who really does the work. And when those patients are afraid in the middle of the night, who answers that call?
Nurses!
To assume that they can lock out their own nurses and not lose the soul of what they do is some stark and utter bullshit. The nurses, you're the heart of healthcare. So when nurses stand up and fight, they're just not fighting for nurses. You know who they're fighting for? All of us who have to get healthcare at hospitals. All of us who rely on our healthcare centers being places that we actually will get.
You know, Aj, I've been a doctor my whole career, and all my work.
My whole career.
Has been about trying to put glasses on kids' faces and take on big corporate polluters and take on the system.
Jesus Christ. Just as a heads up, this guy didn't, he didn't even do a residency. I don't think. You're leaning pretty heavily into that. Sheesh.
Having conversations about their problems, they feel like politics is not a way forward to actually solve any of the challenges that they face, whether that's the inability to see a doctor or the inability to afford groceries or the worry that they're going to get locked out of the ability to be employed by new ways of automating them. All of that, those are the things that I'm running to take on. And so, you know, people are going to be unfair. I'll tell you this, you know, at the end of the day, I became a doctor because I want to take care of people. I care a lot about the pain that people face. And I think but look, at the end of the day, like, I want folks in Michigan to know who I am, right? And I'm going to go and I'm going to listen and I'm going to learn. That's what doctors do. And then I'm going to sit down and speak truth about what the challenges are and what we can do to solve them. My hope is at the end of the day.
After I win my court case, I'm going to disappear for a month. I need to write a new backstory, bro. My backstory is cooked. I just exaggerate a lot of what's there. If you can just like make up whatever the fuck you want, bro. I just need a whole ass fucking, we just need to write some sick shit out. What is it between doctor and physician? I don't know if there's like a formal distinction, but I think generally if somebody says they're like a physician, usually you imagine that they're like licensed to practice medicine and they're doing that. But it sounds like I don't think this guy even did his residency. So he got his MD and then I think he got a PhD in epidemiology, but he never independently practiced. This April he gave, people are saying you can be a doctor of philosophy. No, he got an MD, which is medical doctor. So I think he had to do, that's why I was asking for Dr. Bill. I think you have to do like clinical things or clinical rotations or something, but he didn't do a residency and then after that go and get licensed to practice. His LinkedIn profile currently says he's a physician, and late last month he called himself a physician and epidemiologist at a Council of Baptist Pastors debate in Detroit. But according to a review of Michigan and New York State medical records, he's never been granted a medical license in those states. It'll say it's hand-on experience treating patients. It appears to be a short clinical rotation called a sub-internship at a small hospital in Manhattan for 4 weeks. At the end of med school, I wonder what he could even do with that. Like, I wonder if you could even like inject people with things. I don't know. On the scale of all the things, he told a podcast in 2022 where he said his job was to be like the worst doctor on the team, and he was cosplaying a doctor. This is in 2022. Fuck. Why don't they timestamp any of their shit? Ah, good one. Is this the guy Hassan was with? Yeah, that everybody's freaking out over. You do fourth year and third year rotations to get your MD. Gotcha. Okay. But he didn't do a residency though, right? So there's like you get your bachelor's, You do your MCAT, and then you go to, is it med school for 3 years? And then once you finish med school, that's what he did. Then you do your residency and then specialization, and then you're a doctor. Is it 4 years for med school? Don't you do your residency to call yourself an epidemiologist? No, epidemiologist is just school. That's just like you just go to school for that. That's not like medical anything, right? Epidemiologist is just a person study of epidemiology, which is like public health or whatever, right? Why is there this uniquely American phenomena where Arabs become commies or socialists when they become politically active? Here in Canada, they all become progressive conservatives. And my buddy's uncle is a member of parliament in Edmonton and goes to pride parades. I don't know. I feel like in America, all brown people are the same to us. It, just from the little I've read and studied related to Israel-Palestine, it does feel like Arab society at large, like had valued traditions in like the academics, in the arts, in like becoming well-learned and studied people, that they, it, like, I'm not trying to do the anti-stereotype, but that these were like things that were like in, I know that, like, for instance, Palestinians broadly are considered some of the most educated, even in the Arab society, because of all the UNRWA funding for education and everything. And at least there is the stereotype of, like, I think in Israel, they always say that the Palestinians are our doctors and our lawyers. That was a thing that was said over and over again. The longest serving Arab parliamentary member that I interviewed, Ahmed Tibi, I think is a doctor. I think he's Dr. Ahmed Tibi, right? Sorry, I don't know. Keep in mind, also, we're getting... Maybe he's not, actually. I might have just made that the fuck up. Oh, no. I think he is a doctor. Oh, yeah. Oh, and the leader of... in the PLO, one of the parties that me and Lonerbox interviewed, that guy was a doctor as well, I believe. I don't know. They got a lot of... those people. Okay. But also, these are the people we see in the West who all come over here, so... Reception in Michigan is that he is, at least at one point in his life, a licensed physician, says Chris Stewart, an unaligned Democratic strategist based in Michigan. That apparently is not the case, and it blows up a big part of his campaign. There's no doubt that El Sayed has top-notch medical credentials. Really? What does that mean? He attended the University of Michigan Medical School, okay, and ended up receiving his medical degree from Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons, okay. He has a doctorate in public health from Oxford University, has nothing to do with being a doctor, and worked as an assistant professor of epidemiology at Columbia for a year before moving to Detroit to be executive director and health officer of the Detroit Health Department, okay. My understanding is we don't have, I don't know where the fuck my doctors are right now in chat. We need to fire these motherfuckers. I don't know if med school, if people care about that anywhere near as much as they care about where you do your residency. I think your residency is like the big deal. I feel like I looked this up a long time ago because people were making fun of Dr. K for saying that he went to Harvard. And then everybody was making fun of Dr. K because like, you didn't go to Harvard, motherfucker. Your undergrad was in some whatever fuck school. You only did your residency at Harvard. And I tried to look through that. But apparently it's like your residency is the big deal. That's where people actually give a fuck. And in a way, I guess it's kind of comparable to law school. If you're like, you know, I'm a lawyer. I went to Yale. And it's like, damn, impressive. Okay, top Yale law grad. Okay. It's like, well, no. I mean, I did my undergrad in poli sci at Yale. You've never heard of my law school before. But I did my undergrad at Yale. Nobody gives a fuck where you do your undergrad at. But I don't know. Fuck you. I will be confident in this. It is, your residency is the thing that matters, okay? And then once you become a doctor, then it's just where you practice, whatever, right? I've never in my life heard somebody in medicine, though, talk about or care about, like, where they go to med school as much at. Maybe unless to get a good residency, but... Apparently, residency is a big racket in the U.S. You get no choice where you go. There's very little spaces, and they offer very low wages. I didn't believe any of that until a couple of years ago. And the residency process sounds fucking crazy to me. I don't know if they're allowed to pay below minimum wage or if they pay minimum wage, but you're working like fucking like 90 hours a week for fucking 3 years in like the most stressful shit you've ever done in your entire life while you're trying to fucking learn everything, and you have no fucking money, and they pay you like $40,000 a year. It's like you get paid nothing, and you've got all your debt from med school and everything else, and you can't work another job. It's like the residency process for me sounds like insane. Okay, sorry. Somebody said, I don't know why you put this on caps. Absolutely not. They get paid 70K minimum. Okay, maybe it's 70K. But like, that's not what I would have expected. All right. That's crazy to come out of med school and everything else with maybe over 100K in debt. I wonder what the average med school grad, average med school debt, 200, way higher. The average medical school debt for the class 21, personally, imagine coming out with $220,000 in debt, 3 years, 70K a year for an insane workload. At Destiny, we are allowed to be paid below minimum wage. LOL, you could be working 80 hours a week and be paid 60K a year. Yeah, it might, because I don't think they pay you, what, per hour or whatever, right? It's like, fucked. It seems very hard. It seems very, very, very difficult. Pretty sure your residency is happening while you're in med school. No, I don't think so. I think I think you do, is there like a YouTube video that explains it? I think you can do some like clinical rotations as a part of like med school, but I think you have to finish med school to do your residency, I believe. Because I think when you are a resident, I think you're basically, are you licensed at that point? Or you, or you're, or do you have to, are you licensed before or after you're a resident? Or do you get licensed afterwards? Because I think a resident can do almost anything. Residency is after step two, so you're licensed. Yeah. Like all the doctors in the pit, like all of those guys, except for Dr. Robbie, I think are all residents. So like they have to present a case to like a upper physician. I don't know if you call me attending. I don't think you're calling. Whoever like the doctor, the lead doctor is to make sure that like, hey, I'm not fucking up or whatever. But they're like doctors. They can do anything, I think, basically, including banging your mom. All the top donors of the rat fuck United Conservative Party on Voter are Syrian / Lebanese Muslim businessmen who legit only vote for Danielle Smith for tax cuts. When I was religious, they went to my mosque and even brought her there. Some of the safest provincial seats in Alberta have a substantial Arab population. Oh, were you here last night to look at Alberta, bro? It's no doubt that Al-Sayed has top-notch medical credentials. He attended the University of Michigan Medical School and ended up receiving... Okay, so I don't know what they say this, but this is just not true. But the writer is just probably retarded, but that's fine. He's earned the right to be called doctor twice over, Al-Sayed spokesperson Roxy Rickner said in a statement. I'm guessing this is Rickner, didn't respond to questions about the use of the word physician. Al-Sayed has said in his past that he decided not to practice medicine after treating a patient during medical school and decided he wanted to address systemic issues instead of individual patients. Okay. But his history of suggesting to voters that he served as a practicing physician, with examples stretching back almost a decade, has muddled his personal history. Okay. So it seems like he's just lying or whatever. But that's, you know, that's cool. We all do. We all do a little bit of lying. Why not? Destiny, I'm a doctor. What questions can I answer? Okay. Last night, my dick got so huge. So this guy wasn't even licensed. What a king. What a king. Honestly, he has my vote, okay? Hell yeah.
So this week we're talking.
Holy shit, he's about to get, he's about to show us how shredded he is. How strong he is.
What's the weight on this?
315.
Uh-oh. Oh my. Look at that. Damn. Where's Hassan here at this liftoff? Now, if this guy would actually just go out and... Never mind. Just file. No, we're not. I don't approve. Vote. Pretty sure medical interns are actively practicing medicine while still completing their postgraduate medical degree. What do you call that? How many physicians do, like, post-MD schooling? Is that common? If you go into specific fields, then yes. Wait, that was two plates? That was 225. Excuse me? Question mark, question mark, question mark? No, that was three plates. Anytime you go to the gym, anybody that lifts with fucking ugly-ass plates like this, these people are always strong, okay? If you can tolerate having these nasty fucking weirdo fucking metal plates, and then when you use these god-awful fucking... These are the worst fucking clips, okay? Fuck that shit. These people are always strong, okay? It's just a fact. That's just a fact of life. So we believe it. We trust him. What was your question? Do most doctors, like people that are practicing physicians, do have most of them completed post-med school schooling? So like if you do like, you go to medical school and then you do your 3 years of residency or whatever, do most of them do more schooling past like just med school? Or the best doctors don't do any training and they just learn by making mistakes. True. That's why they call it practicing. 315 is several years of dedicated weightlifting without PEDs. With PEDs is like 6 months though. I think if you go to the gym and you're doing all the right stuff, you're on a good PPL, you should be able to do 315 in probably like 4 or 5 months if you're a normal male. I was doing 315, I think, per hand in dumbbells. It's hard to get the dumbbells that big. You gotta get the dumbbells with the detachable plates, or sometimes you gotta, you ever do the like dumbbell bench press, but you use barbells instead, and then you can load plates on the barbells, but it's a lot of balancing work, so. Oh shit. Okay. I was going to say this, but I didn't get my disclosure in time because you don't have to. The disclosures that we do are quarterly. I did get paid $50,000 to smear Al-Sayed Abdul or whatever. I'm sorry. Galinsky has revealed, just so you know, literally every single account smearing Abdul today is paid by a billionaire funded PAC. They know he's on the verge of winning, and this is the pathetic Hail Mary to take him down. I was paid. That was me. Problem?
I assume you were mad because he called himself a physician when he's never actually fucking practiced.
So, I hate everybody doing this, okay? I don't know if I would have cared if he called himself a physician or a doctor. I don't know if I would have cared that much. Because when I initially went into it, people will ham up their background a little bit. My issue was that I don't know if was it a person who made a subreddit post or was it a person who didn't? Oh, no, it was a news article I was reading. It was when he talked about being a doctor. He really hammed it up. Like, he was a physician for years, seeing tons of patients, and he walked away from his life as a physician. And it was pretty shameless, okay? It was pretty shameless, especially when, like,
COVID happened and shit, like...
Well, yeah, and also, I mean, I can't, but, like, my impression from speaking to doctors is, like, the roughest part of, like, your whole doctor schooling bullshit is probably the residency you do. And then to just do med school and then to not do your residency at all, to not get certified or licensed as a physician or whatever at all. Like, I don't even know.
I said earlier, it feels like a waste. It feels like a waste of fucking time.
You can go into research, which is what he did. He got there's no way that I can prove this. And I'm so sorry. do you know what an epidemiologist is?
Not off the top of my head. No.
If you had to guess what you think it is.
It's an epidemiologist. I would say it's like the study of like the fucking human body or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Anything more particular?
Feet.
Oh, that would be podiatry, I think. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm glad you answered this way. Epidemiology is just, it's like kind of like economics. It's like a thing you can study. That has nothing to do with being a doctor. Epidemiology is the study of public health. It's not like I think when people read epidemiologist, they think like, oh, you can be like a neurologist. You can be like, what are the other ologists? I don't know. Cardiologist. Yeah. Or you can be like an epidemiologist. That's not how. No. Epidemiologist is just a public study of public health. It's like being an economist or whatever. But yeah. So I
thought he got one of his doctorates in philosophy, if I recall correctly.
I think it was a PhD in epidemiology, and then he did his MD at like Columbia or something. I don't know if you're, yeah. So it's just like, I think, because I saw some people putting in the replies, they're like, well, he was an epidemiologist or whatever. And it's like, well, it's epidemiology is just, that's like a study you go to school. That has nothing to do with med school. Like, you can get I'm pretty sure you can get your whole, Bad Bunny was a master's, she had her master's in epidemiology. So, yeah. It's like a hospital bureaucrat hamming up being a family doctor. Well, a family doctor, I think, usually, can you do a residency in general medicine? Like could you be like family medicine or something? If you say you're a family doctor, my guess is going to be that your residency was in something broad like that, and you see patients. You do stuff and you see patients. But like, I don't know if this guy could have done any more doctor stuff than I could do. I don't even know if you could give an injection to somebody if you have, if you just finished med school, but you don't do anything past that, you're the step two or whatever the fuck, or your residency. I don't think you could do anything. But again, I wouldn't care that much if he just said, even if he said like, oh, well, you know, I went to school to be a doctor and then I switched to public, whatever. But he hams it up, bro. I don't know if you had the article.
A bit like stolen valor or whatever.
Yeah, he hams it up way too much.
No, I was meaning to read the article, but I hadn't yet. I did hear him he was in an interview and somebody called him a physician and he didn't correct him or anything. So I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like even physician is probably not, you probably shouldn't be. You probably shouldn't be rocking with that, but what are you going to do? The pics of him in a white doctor's coat? Wait, really?
Are there?
Because that's funny too. No way this is actually your guys' take about this guy. He's a great candidate. This is totally separate of whether or not he's a good candidate or not. I'm just saying he fucking hardcore fucking lies about.
If he wins the nomination, Dem should vote for him. Trump allows.
Maybe, yeah. Probably.
I'm telling him to vote for the fucking Nazi guy. So,
yeah. Platinum. I mean, he's running for senator. I almost certainly won him, I think, over any red senator. So, yeah, probably, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Redder the Nazi I know and the Nazi I don't.
True. Destiny, honestly, epidemiology seems like a more relevant field for someone who wants to do policy-related stuff. He should be more honest about it. I just don't think ordinary people know anything about, like, really about anything. But I almost feel like that's kind of like, and I don't know, I could be wrong. I don't know the standards, but I feel like that would be kind of like an impressive thing to say. Like, I got my
epidemiologist, you know.
Well, that, I mean, like, I got my PhD in epidemiology, and it's like, oh, cool. Like, what was your undergrad and everything? It's like, oh, I did my undergrad here, and I graduated med school.
Like, yeah,
you're into med school.
I think anyone would think that you were a doctor at that point.
Sure, but I'm just saying that I feel like that would be pretty impressive. You went to med school and then you got your PhD in epidemiology. That's pretty impressive, but like, that's not enough. He's got to be a doctor too. That was treating, or not treating. That was treating all these patients. And everything. It's like, Why, bro? MD and PhD is not enough for you?
Leave some degrees for us.
And the guy's like strong as fuck. The guy's like, obviously he's very attractive. I think he speaks well. He's funny. Like, why lie? It's like never enough for some people. Why? I don't know, man. He has the worst chances based on polling out of the three Dems against the Republican guy. Oh, I saw. Did you see Emma Vigeland was trying to like pray that the other two moderate candidates stay in so they keep splitting the vote? Why attack a person who is likely a good candidate for the Dems? Well, one, it's still the primary.
The
so
primary.
We're allowed to attack anybody. It's now. But then two, I don't know. I don't know. You should probably lie about being a doctor.
You are allowed to attack people during the primary. It's after the primary that we have to come together and be like, all right, well,
yeah,
that's my guy.
Did he separately do the MD and PhD or just do an MD PhD joint program? That's typically how you do that. They're hyper competitive programs because the PhD part pays the MD part. He might have. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. It's hard because since he's lied about some of his story, it's hard to know. Because he said he wanted to be a doctor, but then he changed his course and wanted to go into public policy, which makes it sound like that wasn't the case. Maybe that was the plan from the beginning. He just lies about that. I don't know.
What would Dr. House say?
Absolutely true. He literally is a doctor, though. No, Destiny? Yeah, good one.
Hey, you want to join Voice Return?
Whoa!
Get him in here.
I don't know if physician is a protected title, that thing. I'm not sure. The whole point is that he's by far the worst Dem running in that primary in terms of electability. We need to try. Well, I don't know how true that
okay,
is.
Okay, well, hold on. That's not even that true anymore. I saw a poll this morning that had him... I think he was losing by 2, but I think everybody else was losing by 2 to Rogers or whatever his name is. So I understand why people are saying that, but it doesn't seem to be as true as it was.
I don't know. He is a doctor. It doesn't seem worth the effort to clarify that you didn't complete a residency. It's too in the weeds. Yeah, I agree with you, but that's just because you're retarded. But that's my frustration, right? Like, it's like saying, like, it's technically true. Alex Preddy approached ICE with a loaded firearm. And like, well, did he have it drawn or not? I mean, like, that's kind of in the weeds. Like, that's true, I guess, but it's kind of a retarded point. Once you finish med school, you're a Dr. Lemayo. No. Well, I mean, like, you've got a medical degree, or you're a medical doctor, is that what MD means?
Correct.
But most people consider you a doctor when you're a licensed physician. Like, even if you'd finished your residency and were licensed, if you were, I don't know if they call it disbarred, if your license is suspended or whatever, but if you were to tell somebody you were a doctor, and they were like, oh, can you prescribe me, or can we do this? And you're like, oh, no, I'm not licensed anymore. I think even at that, people are like, wait, well, what the fuck? I used to be a doctor, people would say, but attorneys is always the comparable analogy. Well, yeah, but nobody even draws a distinction between that. If you say that you're an attorney or a lawyer, people are always going to view that the same. Ignore the Lebanon spamming retard. In Michigan, physician is protected for licensed people. Being licensed in this context means residency, provisional license, or completed residency and finished step 3. Well, maybe he didn't say he was a physician when he was out of state. Okay. Abdul for Senate, A Healthier America. Abdul literally wrote the book on Medicare for All. There's no one more passionate about the cause of granting healthcare for every single American because no one Abdul believes in expanding Medicare coverage from cradle to grave while sustaining the option for workers to keep supplemental private insurance their union or employers may provide. That would make Medicare stronger, expanding the pool of young, blah, blah, blah. In the meantime, oppose the privatization of Medicare or the attempt to cut Medicare. Expanded Medicare for, and then with supplemental insurance if you choose. I think this is probably my kind of like ideal, I think, maybe, without having put like a fuck ton of homework into it. So I'm okay with that. And then more and better education is in universal pre-K, public K through 12 that is comprehensive, empowering, and tailored to kids' unique needs. Abdul protected children in Detroit from lead in their schools. What, like a superhero? Like he fought it? Punched it?
Yeah, but how does he feel about the Jews?
Whoa! How many Jews are in Michigan?
Too many.
What? Abdul believes in abolishing medical debt, as he did for upwards of 300,000 Michiganders. Wait, what does that mean?
Abolishing debt? Like their medical debt?
Yeah, but what was it? What did he do for that? What was the plan or what was the policy or what happened, I guess? I don't know. I'm not saying I doubt it. I was just curious what that thing was. Quick, look at how fucking adorable my dog is. Aw.
Your dog's ugly, G.
Notice how, like, when he looks at his dog, I bet all he did was fucking look at him, and the dog noticed. The dog starts wagging his tail because it's like a normal dog. Sensible foreign policy. Damn. Look, he calls out Ukraine. In the thing. And I think they're using dashes on this page instead of M dashes. So maybe it was written by a real human. This policy page seems fine. I just like when I hear him talk, because I'll stop people's shit. But his policy page seems okay. Okay, Lebanon gang is spamming in all my chats. He really wants to know. The American Medical Association says the following. Our American Medical Association affirms that a physician is an individual who has received a Doctor of Medicine or a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree or an equivalent degree following successful completion of a prescribed course of study from a school of medicine or osteopathic medicine. So a physician might not be, I guess, that much of a protected term then.
I'm a physician.
Well, you don't have an MD.
Well,
but it doesn't really change anything that I argued earlier, so.
Bro, most Americans don't know that the blockade led to Pearl Harbor. Wait, what?
Oh, fuck, white girl. Oh man, we're about to see the dumbest shit of all time. Oh no.
No, you're just bad. Sometimes I'm like, is American education that bad, or do I just have bad students?
I'm going to literally hold Hassan's hand as I say this because it is that bad and I don't think it's talked about enough. America has an America First based system for how it teaches kids history, and we don't really learn past like 1940s in the public schools. And the only thing that gets touched past that, if anything, is like the civil rights movement for like 2 or 3 weeks. It's messed up. I will never forget in the eighth grade when we were having a moment of silence for 9/11 and half the class had no idea what we were doing and the teacher crashed out right now.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not, but that would be funny if that's true.
Thankfully so. Because we lived through it, they assumed we all knew it, and then the teacher started asking us what else other kids didn't know and realized they had to rework the whole course schedule to include a random events Friday to fill in the gaps for us, and I absolutely love a teacher like that who steps up when kids are falling behind. But for much of my education, I was homeschooled by neurodivergent people obsessed with history.
Okay.
So let me break down for you exactly how United States public schools teach history, because it also concerned me when I went into school. And I would love to pick someone like Hassan's brain on this someday, because especially now that I'm learning from other people outside the US, it's crazy. So up until the fifth grade, roughly, you learn about like the Revolution, the Constitution, and all of basic American history, because everything is always centered on the US, but obviously heavily excluding a lot of the stuff that makes us look bad. And then you get to sixth grade and you start learning ancient civilizations like Egypt, Mesopotamia, Greece, Rome. In seventh grade, you'll get medieval history. Again, usually just Europe, sometimes Asia. In eighth grade, you get U.S. history, but it's not really U.S. history, and it usually stops around like the 1940s, and it's just everything that they can glorify. Like, it starts classic around like Christopher Columbus, and then usually around like April-ish, you end up somewhere around the Industrial Revolution. You realize you're running out of time in the school year, and then they speed run all of the world wars. And if there's anything past that, it'll be like 2 weeks for the civil rights movement, and they'll make it look like we solved
racism. We did not speed run the world wars.
And at some point in the 10th or 11th grade, our English teacher realized no one told us.
Well, it depends on what you mean by speed run, right? I mean, for grade school to high school history, really, you're speed running everything, right?
Sure, yeah.
History is a massive endeavor. I'm sure there are entire college courses on, like, singular aspects of World War II, you know? So it's
for sure. Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you're speedrunning probably.
Depends on what she means, but she was like,
The issue is that, like, you have to select, like, what are you going to teach and then how are you going to teach it and then understand that most kids don't give a fuck. That's a hard one.
It's a hard class to teach.
Yeah.
And then usually around like April-ish, you end up somewhere around the Industrial Revolution. You realize you're running out of time in the school year, and then they speed run all of the world wars. And if there's anything past that, it'll be like 2 weeks for the civil rights movement, and they'll make it look like we solved racism.
I'm going to be honest. I think that I feel like in every history class from grade school to high school, that like 1946 to the year 2005 was like 1 week. Oh, but there'll be a break for civil rights where nothing else was happening in the world, just civil rights in the United States, and that's it.
We learned a lot about civil rights / slavery / underground railroads.
Sure, that was a part of it, yeah, but I feel like we didn't learn anything. Did you get taught Vietnam? Vietnam would be part of civil rights. There would be one paragraph saying, by the way, this is happening. And then we would go back to MLK. That's my.
And at some point in the 10th or 11th grade, our English teacher realized no one told us about the Vietnam or Korean War. And so they took like 2 or 3 weeks to teach us themselves. Again, amazing teachers. Wow. And in 9th grade, we took human geography. I took AP Human Geo, and it was one of my favorite classes ever. We learned about public infrastructure and trains. It was a big year for Elmo. In 10th grade, you got what they called world history. I actually tested out of this and didn't take history this year, but it was mostly just Europe and ancient civilizations again. 11th grade was U.S. history again, mostly leaning into the Industrial Revolution and again running out of time around the 1940s and not really going past that. And in 12th grade, you get electives.
To be fair, you're talking about a private school in Nebraska? Yeah, so my education probably was better than 99% of the countries, and we didn't learn fuck all about history, so suck my dick, bitch.
You choose government, econ, psych. I tested out of all of them and again did not take history.
Well, aren't you cool?
Shout out that to my mom, like, I guess, for teaching me history so well as a child that years later I somehow still out-tested United States high schoolers with it without studying.
I mean, the problem is there's a lot of history and I feel like there's like I don't know. Could I have strong feelings on this? Man, I'm just going to be honest. I just feel like school is just wasted on kids. Or maybe it was just me. I just didn't give a fuck about any of this shit. Social studies and history, I hated these fucking classes. At least they're cool as fuck. What?
I think now they're cool as fuck.
Yeah, now it's interesting. But I feel like for like math and science, at least on that shit, it all kind of like built on each other. But history was just like a bunch of, it's like imagine having to like read like the fucking lore of some anime you don't give a fuck about. And it's like, I don't care in JJK. I don't know what domain expansion is or what the exports of Argentina were in the year 12 or whatever. Like, Jesus fuck, who cares? Oh my God, I hated everything. But I feel like because people tried to be so, I've given this take before, because like teachers and everything tried to be so apolitical and not biased or whatever, like nothing ever felt relevant or related to any of the things that were happening today in the United States. So I just didn't give a fuck about any of the shit we learned, even for US history. Like none of it mattered to me. I don't know. I fucking hated all of it. Ugh. Was World War II boring for you? Yes. It was just like, you know, we got blown up, then people blew us up, and then we blew them up, and then we knew people. But it's also probably just a difference in interest too. Like, and as a younger person, I probably would have been more interested in like explosions and shit. But now that I'm older, I'm more interested in political stuff, especially because I understand more how it relates to each other, especially with how like Ukraine is the hell of the world where all problems originate from, including biolabs and disease. Oh, shit. What's up?
Of course. Hello. I really want to ask, since you're both, you know, oh, wait, Mr. Moody, are you American or Canadian?
Oh, yeah.
He's American.
Number one American.
Number one.
Oh, number one American. Great. Then, listen, I bemoan fucking American knowledge of history. Like, I didn't know it was that bad. So I'm just curious, like, what do you mean when you say, like, you had, like, one course and you had a week? Like, how does it even work? Is it, like, just 1 year of history? Like, do you learn it in, like, what age, like, are you even learning?
I would say
shit?
The average American student probably gets anywhere from, like, 10 to 11 years of what we would call like social studies or history courses. And that's going to be including world history and American history. But like the problem is, as you grow up, it's like so broad that it's kind of meaningless, and it'll like touch on like older European stuff and then touch on like American stuff. And I feel like we recover it, a lot of it. Like we'll go over a lot of the same stuff 4 or 5 years later with a little bit more detail. But I just don't know if there's a great choosing of what we cover. Like I would say if you could pull it, I don't know if there's a poll on this. So like, for instance, you've heard of the Holodomor, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sorry. I know that. I would say in the United States, my guess would be less than like 10% of like high school grads would have ever even heard of this. Less than 10% would even heard of this. I don't know if we did.
I mean,
the only thing that Americans learned about the Cold War was like the Cuban Missile Crisis, and that's it.
Yep, that's it.
Oh, so it's kind of like super duper centered around just what you basically did.
Well, it's centered around what we did in some context. So like, we don't learn anything about South America. No.
I see. I thought it would be about like what you were basically like kind of involved with, sort of. But like the rest is sort of cut out, I guess. Because we have like sort of the similar system. In fairness, though, our system wasn't, when I was in school, it wasn't exactly European standard, because we only started standardizing it to be like EU friendly when I was going to the university. So it wasn't really, you know, I'm not saying like it's everywhere in Europe like that, but we have like basically from fifth grade. So when you are 11, sort of, you kind of start history. Because, you know, before that, you're a little dweeb, like, what do you know, like, right? No point in teaching that stuff. But, like, since, like, 11, you start every year is sort of, like, certain time period.
Sure.
And, like, what everyone was doing. Sure. So, you have one course that is history of Ukraine. So, like, about how the ancient times, what was happening, like, in, like, Bronze, you know, age and all sorts of shit. Then how it all develops further. And then to medieval times, and then to the whole fucking new era, and then, you know, it ends with the World War II, and then after the Soviet Union collapse, and all of that, right? And you have a course that is world history, which is about basically all the other people.
It's about us, right?
Yeah, I would say that, like...
I mean, partially.
I feel like...
Not just...
I feel like for American, like, grade school, high school, there's, like, six or seven, like, big memes, And then like every like 3 or 4 years, you kind of just like run through all the big memes again. So you have like the beginning of all of history is like something to do with like the Greeks and the Romans because they got democracy. And then Christopher Columbus and the natives, and we treated the natives very poorly. God. They bring that up. And then you had the colonies and Paul Revere and the Revolutionary War. And that was a big one. And then the Civil War happened and that was bad. And then literally nothing happens between the 1880 to 1920, something, maybe Great Depression. World War One, America defeats the whole world. World War Two, for some reason, some of the teams have changed, but we don't know. Whatever, America beats the whole world again. And then for some reason, we're the strongest. And then everybody stops doing everything around the world and waits for America to do civil rights. But there's also Vietnam. Uh-huh. We'll get one paragraph. You'll usually get like two sentences about McCarthyism was bad. And then they'll like try to speed run and catch you up to like modern day America. There's a lot of crazy stuff. And then and that's like, this is like the, there's like a few of these like pillars. And then it feels like you just like, whoosh, you redo all of these like every 3 or 4 years with like a little bit more detail. Oh, and I guess now they probably went about 9/11 other books. Yeah.
That explains some things. Okay. But like also why the repetition? Like, so you don't forget what you learned again? Like what? Like, why do you say you like run through the same thing like over and over again at different ages? Like, why instead of?
I have no idea. I don't know. That's just my feeling. We come back with we pass through with like slightly more detail, but like barely. We might have.
Okay. I make sense now to me because I wasn't. I was like people like explained it, but I wasn't really like sure how it. Relates basically how comparable it is how it was in my school. Mm-hmm. And it's not really. So we only got to like, you know, World War II stuff when we were like pretty already old, like not old but like older. Mm-hmm. So like, I think 10th or something, like 9th or 10th grade. So it would be like 15, 16 years old basically.
Yeah.
So that would be like where you study like later part of this. So it's kind of like divided in like basically like time periods, right? From the ancient to the, you know, to the medieval shit and then to the Renaissance period and then to all the fucking new era shit and then World War One, World War Two, and then like it's all kind of divided just by like by years basically. So step by step sort of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which I think makes sense. I don't know. I mean, I was a history nerd back in the day, so I loved history. It was one of my favorite subjects. So it depends, I guess. If you didn't like it, probably it wasn't that fun for you. But I think that was a good system.
I don't know how true this is, and maybe it doesn't matter that much. I don't know. I'd have to think. I'd have to dwell on this some. But one kind of like peripheral issue in the United States, I don't know if this is true in Europe, but I think in the U.S., you're much less likely to have actual history teachers. And that's a topic or subject that for some reason is just like a subject that a lot of gym teachers end up teaching because they have to teach a class. So they end up teaching social studies or history.
What?
Yeah. I don't know why that is the case in the U.S., but like math teachers will usually be like math teachers and the science teachers will be science. But for some reason, like if you do like gym, like this is our coach, he also teaches social studies or history.
What
I don't know why.
Fuck?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's a thing in the U.S. Yeah. I remember for our final, I love him, but it was coach Griffin. Was that his name? I don't remember. He was the wrestling coach when I was at prep in 2007. Our history final, because he didn't give a fuck. Our history final was, it was 25 questions, and the answers were A, B, C, D, E, A, B, C, D, E, A, B, C, D, E. I remember like 10 minutes through the test, like a lot of heads were coming up and kids were kind of like looking around at each other because people were realizing, wait, is the Scantron, is it really just A, B, C, D, E? And then, he didn't give a fuck about that course.
Okay, that's very interesting because I also kind of was like in between the change of the educational system to be more European standard.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like was privy to both like the previous system and also the new system.
Yeah.
And the new system was much more like tests. So like ABCs basically.
Yeah.
Which I didn't like personally. Especially when it comes like to history and shit, but like previous system was mostly like you write sort of like little essays, basically. So this was the old exams. You would get like multiple questions, and those questions were the ones you elaborate on. and you had to write like a proper structure. So like a thesis, or, you know, proof of your thesis, shit like that, like a child version of it. Not as like sophisticated as like, you know, university would be, right?
Yeah.
But similar sort of, and I, in my opinion, like maybe I'm like, you know, old school like that, but I thought that was kind of cooler, especially on like humanitarian stuff. Sciences, like, you know, like history and like literature, it's way cooler to write a, like an elaborate essay that you think about shit than to answer what color was the fucking thing, or like what date, or like what was a particular thing called, and, you know, stuff like that that you can ask in tests, basically.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. So I ended up like doing this, and then I ended up, when I got to university, it was first, we called that like the NOAA, basically, like a big test thing that was, we did that transfer, so our like diplomas would be eligible in Europe, essentially.
Sure.
So we need to like standardize that shit. And I remember going from this like sort of thoughtful essay stuff to like just answering like did Khrushchevsky hold a corn or like a piece of paper on that famous picture about, you know, the agriculture laws and all that shit. Like, so it's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I understand being standardized though, so, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I got like,
it can't be that bad, but like you bring up that, I feel like I remember in grade school being traumatized, like in third or fourth grade, you'll get these tests on like, what were the exports of like some country? And it would be like,
yeah, like
textiles, yeah, and like wheat chaff. And I was like, I don't know. You just like remember the term. Yeah, it was horrible. Somebody pointed out in
it's
chat.
It's like super artistic, basically. Like you have to remember like some very particular things.
Yeah, and it's like what, it doesn't apply to anything. Right, yeah.
So, yeah, and it doesn't give you like this broader picture or like an interesting thing to think about. Like, I don't know, like I much prefer like the essay style shit, to be honest, as far as like exams go.
Sure. I mean, if you actually know it, yeah. If you don't know it, multiple choice is better. Somebody in chat pointed out something that's probably true for... In the US, we really, really, really care about standardized tests because that's our big test to get into college. Mm-hmm. So like the... I don't know if they still do the ACTs, but the SATs.
They do.
But in the... I don't believe there is a history or social studies or section on any of those. It's all like math. For the ACT, the four sections, I think it was like English, math, it was charts... And fuck, I don't remember the fourth one, but there's like, I don't think there's any social studies or history in any of these. So maybe that's why they do the majority.
Wait, but
of,
if you apply to the university for that course, like you don't have those tests, you still do math or some shit.
Not standardized tests. You just have to, for standardized tests, you like your SATs, it's just like a bunch of like mathy, sciencey, and can you read charts basically.
So like applying to a university, if you want to be like, I don't know, sociologist or like historian or some shit, you will still have to do like math and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the standardized test you'll use. Yeah. Yeah.
Ew, I would not be able to.
Well,
because I chose to do like I had Ukrainian language and literature, English I chose, which saved my ass because I got 198 out of 200.
Mm-hmm.
So like almost full score. And then I had the history. So I didn't have math. If I had it, I would be screwed. I wouldn't be able to qualify for the university, which I ended up dropping out of. So who cares at the end of the day? But like, yeah.
Well.
Too busy being a revolutionary, okay?
I guess. That's what happened. You dye your hair. Yeah.
I mean, it's unironically kind of the... I am that fucking thing leftists think they are. Like, I actually dropped out of school to do revolution.
Yeah, and just like all the revolutions, they were all CIA-backed coups as well, so... I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Nuland cookies and all that shit were available broadly, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, thanks. I needed that explanation. By the way, that girl you just watched... is recommended to me all the time, and she like is so in love with Hassan, it's a little embarrassing.
Nice.
She gets like in my YouTube shorts. I don't know why, like I never wanted that, but she gets to thirst of Hassan like on occasion. I don't know why.
What are you gonna do?
Thank you guys, bye-bye.
Have fun, be careful.
Bye-bye.
sorry, some people in chat. I never considered there to be a real science section on the ACT. I know that for ACT they call it the science section, but when I took it, my memory of it is it's just like a reading comprehension graph or chart, or not chart or graph, or like a, can you read this and understand this and then answer the correct thing. It didn't really, you didn't have to have any knowledge of science. It was like reading comprehension. There would be like a passage about science and then you would just answer the multiple choice question based on the passage you read.
Hey, what's up? I was gonna add something. Yeah. We were talking about history. If it was learned through like a political lens, it would be more interesting.
Or if there was just more like application of stuff we do today, I feel like it would be more interesting. Yeah.
Well, okay. There's a problem with that. Not to push back too hard, but there is. I took a, for my university class before I switched from history to international relations, there was a major required course called historical theory. It was like a second year course, and it kind of talked about. It talked about the fact that you can do a political history and kind of be avowedly one side, but it's kind of like a really hard line to like walk because you can like easily become like very hacky.
Well, sure. Like, I'm not saying it has to be like hardcore politically slanted, but it would be interesting to tie it to some things that are happening today, I think. But I feel like that didn't happen.
I mean, like, I agree, but like there's an issue with this is a big issue with like conservative pop historians like Paul Collins. Is that they kind of like just like really like avow these? They say they're
that's fine, but that literally doesn't matter because conservatives will push for one-sided history no matter what. They already have in a lot of the South where they push the ability to teach provisionist history. So I don't know. I feel like my AP in dual enrollment classes were all on the math and science side. I hated history, but when I listened to people who were like an A push or the IB international studies or whatever, when those people talked about it, it felt like their teachers were, I guess they were probably more political, but there was a lot more tie-ins to the stuff that they were learning and then modern stuff because they would all talk more about like politics and stuff too, because I would argue with some of these kids about whatever retarded shit I thought as a high schooler. Whereas in our normal history class, it was like the most sterilized environment ever where nothing had anything to do with what would happen today, which makes it super boring and uninteresting. And yeah,
someone just like meme jacked what I was gonna say. Like there are historians who do say, oh, I have this one political side, and they're still good historians, like I said, but at the same time there's just so few and far between. It's just easier, I guess, from like an educational standpoint to kind of just sterilize history.
Sure, courses. But then I think there's also this big issue, and maybe this is too complicated to make a child understand, I guess, but like a lot of people don't like, mm-hmm. One of the things I like when I'm listening to people talk, so I know if I can trust this person or not, is when there's a difference between saying or like somebody says, my goal is to not be biased at all, is to eliminate all bias, and it's like, well, no, I think your goal should probably be to understand the bias you have and then to understand like which lens you're presenting a thing from. It doesn't make sense from like a historiography perspective or whatever. Like you can't present something truly neutral because like the selection of facts
requires, it depends on the sources.
It doesn't. The selection of facts is an editorial process in and of itself, right? Like to tell a true accounting of the story of a particular battle or war, you would have to follow the story of every single soldier and every single boat and every single animal and every single battle. It would be impossible. So you have to choose, right? But that process of choosing, well, what battles are important? Important with respect to what? There is so much normativity at every level of the choosing thing. So I think it's a little scary when people will look at some kind of version of history and they'll go like, okay, well, we're going to teach history like the apolitical version of history. And it's like, well, how did you choose which events to teach?
Yeah,
and it's like, well, the ones that I think are important with respect to what? Well, I guess for like the formation of the United States. It's like, oh, okay. What do you think was more important to the formation of like modern U.S. understanding of law? Like black contributions during civil rights or like what the Greeks and Romans, you know, thought with regards to democracy, right? Like you get into areas where like very quickly, okay, well, this is a heavy political question. Yeah. Who do you teach more during civil rights? MLK or Malcolm X? Who do you teach more for in terms of like World War I and II? What's your fixation on? Is it going to be on how America entered Europe both times and saved the world? How many times we hear that joke, back-to-back world champs? Everybody thinks that for the United States. Or do you focus on the fact that the United States did not enter either war? We more or less had a policy of isolationism until our hands were forced by people attacking our ships or our Pearl Harbor, right? So I like the facts that you choose to teach already have a heavy political slant. But when people do that, like, well, I'm going to be apolitical and not teach it based on political leanings, it leads people to kind of a false sense of security. Like, well, I got the unbiased version, which bothers me, you know? Yeah.
Not only that, it's like when people say they're being apolitical, they're not actually being apolitical.
Of course.
And also the fact this is what's so important. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what's so important about methodology. One of the biggest things I learned from that course is your methodological lens. Because there's different types of history. There's like progressive histories, progressive narratives of history. There's like Marxist narratives of history. There's conservative narratives of history. There's liberal narratives of history. And there's a lot of narratives of history you can kind of run down. And the source selection is so important in formulating your overall argument, is that it's just, it's just like the idea that you can teach apolitical history is just fucking fundamentally wrong. But also I wanted to say that for world history specifically, Anna mentioned this, world history is that it's really a hard course to teach. There are some college courses. I took one on world history, but they always usually kind of pinpoint there's something called the California School, or is that economics? I don't know. But there's something they pinpoint is how the Western world broadly, even though you can debate that term, kind of over like shadowed and peaked in prosperity and economics and military and culture, governance, whatever. Mm-hmm. The Eastern world, like the Islamic world, the Chinese world, and the Indian, like the general civilization. Samuel Huntington talks about this. So what Anna was saying was that she got taught world history, and this is kind of standard. Even like teaching world history is so, it's just so hard to do, because like, again, what do you choose? What is important?
Yeah, of course.
I think there's a lot of issues with the American education system, obviously, but I feel like the broad-handed critique that it's bad because they don't teach you like these specific events that are really important, and like important to who is the main question. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Yeah. Like for a lot of South America, these are like footnotes for U.S. history, and for like a lot of South American countries, like U.S. intervention and involvement can be like defining factors in how that country operates today. So it's like
Now that's all I wanted to add. But thanks so much.
All right,
be careful, guys.